This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. I want to spend a little bit more time talking about this, and then we'll get to the top stories. This is also a top story, just maybe not the number one story. So the Royals have announced that there are more ways than ever before to watch their baseball product. Now, if you have cable, Spectrum, Xfinity, DirecTV, Fubo, you can still watch them. You don't have to pay anything extra. You don't have to pay anything extra. That's what you want to do. You can now stream them. They have a new service. It's called the FanDuel Sports Network. They have an app that you can sign up for right there on your phone. You're at work. You work at night. You want to watch the Royals right there on your phone. Boom. Pay. You can watch it right there on your phone. On the go. You can also buy it on your smart TV. So I am an Amazon Fire Stick home. Every television I have in my house is a Fire Stick smart TV. I like the interface. I like it. It's easy to navigate. I like them. So right there, boom, you can just pay for it right then and there. That's the same way that I do Red Zone, the same way that I do NBA League Pass. It's an app. I click on it. It's right there on the television. I actually like it. You can sign up for that. If you have Amazon Prime, you can sign up for that if you like to. So you don't need Amazon Prime, but if you already have Amazon Prime, you can, in addition, sign up for this, pay a little extra every month. They're also going to put a handful of games over the air. They're also going to give you a little bit of a package if you have a season ticket. Some people on the text line were saying, why can't it be like football? Well, the difference with football than every other league that you watch is football got everybody's television rights and sold them to CBS, Fox, NBC, and ABC. Now they've started to expand it, and that's when they've started the paywall. They also have sold every team's television rights to Amazon. That's how you have Thursday Night Football. They've also sold individual game rights to Netflix. That's how Netflix got the Christmas Day games. So the big difference between baseball and the NFL is the Yankees have not signed up with everybody else to sell their television rights. No, we own our television rights. So I'm with you. The system is a little bit messed up. And I would love a day in which every team in Major League Baseball signed up together to all do what Major League Soccer has done. Major League Soccer got everybody's television rights and sold it to one place. They sold it to Apple. Rob, you have this, right? You get it if you're a season ticket holder. They offered it to me, but I'm never going to watch that. I'll give it to one of you guys if you want it. I'm not going to use that thing. There will never be a time that I sign up to Apple TV to watch soccer. No, thank you. Not interested. That's the why. I'm with you guys that baseball's television contracts are a little bit messed up. It is. It's a little bit messed up. I do think that this is a pretty either get cable, which a lot of people have. I have the choice to go get cable. I have Spectrum Internet. I'm sure they will sell me the cable. And now I don't got to pay for this streaming service. It's right there on the television. Or if I don't want to do that, I now have the option to stream it in more ways than I've ever had to stream it before, and I would say a pretty decent price. There are certainly pros and cons to that. And if your argument is it's $20 for Netflix and I get all of these shows, all of these movies, I get live wrestling, I get all of these things, and you're telling me it's $20 to just watch Royals games, I don't think that's a great value. That's fair. I'm not here to argue and tell you that's not fair. If you're telling me you get The Sopranos, Wire, Entourage, you get all these things for $17 and you got to pay all this money to watch the Royals play the Tigers, I'm on your side. Maybe that's not a good deal. But you can't say they didn't offer it to you. Access will not be the issue for the Royals in 2025. It might be price for you, or it's not convenient, or whatever it is, but it will not be access. For the first time, I don't think that's a fair argument to make about watching the Royals. They've given you a chance to watch them. You just don't want to watch them, which is, again, fine. It's your money. It's your consumer. If you think that this is poorly priced, then speak with your wallet. I'm not paying for that. Okay, great. Some people will pay for it. Some people won't pay for it. I made the decision this year. I'm paying for it. I'm tired of pulling up the streams, Rob. It's too much. I don't want to do that anymore. Especially now if they're going to be good. If they're going to be good this year, I'll just pay for it. I'm not doing all the back and forth. I don't have the interest in doing that this year. I'll just go ahead and pay for it. All right, we're going to play Joel Corey here coming up in a bit because I do want you guys to hear what Joel Corey had to say. He knows the NFL salary cap as well as anybody in media. He is a former agent. He does great work with CBS Sports. We talked to him, asked all our questions about the Chiefs. He will explain the salary cap in a way that not a single guest that we have can explain it. But before we do that, Diana Rossini was on the Rich Eisen show earlier today. Here she is talking about Travis Kelce. She's hearing that he is thinking of coming back.
You know, I can tell you from just having a few conversations with people around the league over the last few days, there's definitely a sense that Travis is going to try to play more. I haven't heard anyone say, yeah, he's really struggling with what he wants to do. It's definitely leaning more towards that. That can, of course, change. This is going to be his decision only. But for this Chiefs operation looking to move forward here, I think they feel pretty good that Travis has got a little bit more left in him.
I think that Travis is coming back to play for the Chiefs. I think that we are going to hear coming up in the next, I would say, 10 to 14 days, we will get a tweet from Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter that Travis Kelce has decided that he is coming back for next season. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs. I think it makes a lot of sense for Travis Kelce. I think that is what both sides ultimately will want. I think Travis is more than allowed to take his time, make a decision. The season, we're not even 2 weekends into the NFL offseason. Take your time. He's taken a little break from the podcast. He'll come back to the podcast. And I imagine on the podcast, he will tell you either why he's leaving or why he's staying. That's why Amazon gave you all that money for the podcast. It's for breaking news like this. That's big news. What are you going to do? A lot of people want to know what the plan is for Travis Kelce. I believe that Travis Kelce is going to play. Before we play the Joel Corey, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about this. I'm not going to be afraid anymore of disappointment. I'm not. I'm going to allow myself to get my heart broken by a sports team. It's been a while since I've been in that position where I got really excited about a team and they really, really let me down. But that's what being a fan is. That's what loving a team is. That's what supporting them is. I have been a little bit hesitant to fully commit to this Missouri Tigers team. I didn't even want to say the words Final Four until yesterday. I didn't want to allow my brain to think that was a possibility for the Missouri Tigers. But I've thought this for some time, and Rob and I have talked about this off the air. We talked about it on the air. And after watching the way that they dominated a team yesterday from start to finish, they never trailed in the game yesterday to a team that people believe is a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Never at any point did they trail. I allowed myself to dream a little bit. I've allowed myself to accept the fact that I cheer for one of the best teams in college basketball, that simply making the NCAA tournament this year is not just the goal. It's a great goal to have, but I want more than that. I believe that Missouri can make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I believe that they are one of the best teams in this NCAA tournament. I think they're dangerous. I think everything that you tell me teams need in college basketball, I believe Missouri has it. I think they have experienced guard play. I think they have good guard play. I think they have a guy that late in the shot clock can go get you a bucket if you need one. I think they rebound very well. I think they play defense very well. I think they are well coached. I think they're deep. I think they shoot it well. All of the qualities that you need a basketball team to have, I think Missouri has them. And I'm tired of being afraid. So, yes, the text line, you guys might laugh at me for being a fan. And that's fine. Maybe this season will end up in ruin and heartbreak and misery, and I will get myself all worked up and all excited, and then Missouri will disappoint me in March. But you know what? That's being a fan. You guys know what that's like, to be really excited about something and then have your hearts ripped out. You guys don't want that for me. I can't have those same emotions and those same feelings. You also know what it's like when your team finally breaks through and your team finally wins and overcomes the odds. You don't want that for me. Everybody else gets to see their team win. You're a Chiefs fan. You've seen your team win. You're a KU fan. You've seen your team win before. KU, K-State. You guys got pummeled in the Big 12 by KU for 15 years. You broke the streak. You guys got happiness. You can't root for my happiness. I'm here to tell you that I'm not going to be afraid anymore, that I'm going to dream, that I'm telling you right now, your college basketball team cannot beat my favorite college basketball team. And I don't care who you are listening right now. I'm telling you that that's a fact. Unless you cheer for Auburn and then your team can beat my team. Other than that, no. Majority of you don't cheer for Auburn. You cheer for that other team. And you know what happened when you guys played Missouri. Missouri would beat your team in Allen Fieldhouse. They would beat you at Mizzou Arena. They would beat you at T-Mobile Center. They'd beat you at Swope Park if you guys decided to play them. Missouri's better than your team this year. That's okay. You got to accept that this season. And K-State fan, I'm not even listening to you. You guys won't make the NCAA tournament. Don't talk to me about your basketball team. That's how I'm carrying it the rest of the way. And if you're a Missouri fan, I want you along for this ride with me, because Missouri, they're going to the Final Four this season. This is it, Rob. I can feel it. It's our year. That's all I can say. It's our year. I'm confident. I'm hopeful. I'm encouraged. I believe this is the year. Missouri's doing it. They're breaking the curse. They're going to the Final Four. We had Joe Corey on the show earlier today. We asked him, what happens with Travis Kelce if he decides to retire?
Well, the decision has to come maybe sooner than what he wanted his timetable to be, because the third day of the league year is March 14th. He has an $11.5 million roster bonus due. Now, what they could do, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this Green Bay quarterback who used to him and Hobb play this retirement dance every year. There was one year the Packers and Brett Favre moved his, pushed it back the date of his roster bonus like four times in one year. So that could be done. Given that Kelce has $17.25 million in cash this year, has a $19.8 million cap hit, you'd save all the cash, none of it's guaranteed, if he decides to retire. You'd be left with $2.55 million in dead money, but you would need to find a number one tight end unless they were confident that Noah Gray could assume that role. He signed a three-year extension for base value of $6 million per year, $18 million over 3 years, right before the regular season started.
So I'm looking at Travis Kelce's cap number for next year. It's at $19.8 million. Do you think the Chiefs are going to carry Kelce with that high of a cap hit? Or is there something that you can do for this upcoming season that obviously rewards him for the kind of player that he's been in his career? You pay him a certain amount of money and you get that cap number down to create some flexibility to add to the rest of your roster.
Well, since he's a year-to-year proposition, this is the last year of his deal. I'm not touching it. I'm not adding voiding dummy years, so I've got dead money next year. I'd rather keep him, leave it alone, have him play for the $17.25 million, and then he's off the books next year. If he wants to come back, then you got to negotiate a new deal for whatever that may be, given he is a declining player now. Granted, his down years are better than most tight ends' good years, but given he's a little long in the tooth, then I don't want to have residual cap charges in the future with him.
So let's go through the Chiefs' decision. At least it's being reported that they're not going to use the franchise tag. Is that what you expected? Are you surprised by that? They've got a couple of free agents. We'll specifically go through their free agents and get your opinion on Nick Bolton and Trey Smith. But are you surprised that the Chiefs are deciding to not use the franchise tag?
No, not really, because the way the offensive line tag number works, it's not position specific. There's not a guard, center, and a tackle one. It's lumped together, which means it's basically a number based on left tackles. And you rarely see interior offensive linemen get the franchise tag. You did see that the Commanders in 20 and 2021 did use it 2 years in a row on Brandon Scherff. Before that, you had to go back to Logan Mankins in 2011, was one of the last guys to receive it. Joe Tooney in 2020 got it from the Patriots. But you really don't see offensive linemen getting franchise tags, particularly when that number doesn't really relate to the guard market. Because depending upon where the cap is ultimately set, the range for this number is going to be $23.259 million to $23.594 million. The highest paid guard, for now, is Landon Dickerson. He's got a deal which is 4 years, $84 million, averages $21 million per year. The max value of the deal is $87 million total. I expect Trey Smith to become the highest paid guard in the league, whether it's with Kansas City or somebody else in free agency.
If you had to guess, do you think that contract comes from Kansas City or comes from someone else? They did pony up last year, and they spent big-time money on Chris Jones. But you know how this works. You can't pay everybody. Trey Smith is an interior offensive lineman. He's going to be the highest paid at his position. Do you think he's back in Kansas City next year?
Probably not. You guys had to make a choice on which guy from his draft class to sign. You paid Creed Humphrey, which you had to do. He's the best center in football. He's the highest paid center at $18 million per year. He reset the market. Now, the problem on your line is the mistake deal you made with Juwan Taylor. And that's the gift that keeps on giving, because 2025 is fully guaranteed. Signing him, making him, and putting him in the $20 million per year offensive lineman club when it didn't have a whole lot of members, when you signed him, that's turned out to be a bad deal. If I'm Trey Smith's agent, I'm looking at the fact that you brought in an outsider to play left guard when you signed him. Joe Tooney made him the highest paid guard at $16 million per year in 2021. So you're definitely going to have to make me the highest paid guard to stay here, but I suspect it's probably going to be someplace else.
Let's move down the line. Let's talk about Nick Bolton. I never thought he was an option to be franchise tag, but could you see him back in Kansas City? He's a really difficult one, at least for me, to kind of wrap my arms around, because his market either you pay big time money for a guy, or those guys just kind of get 1 year, $8 million kind of deals. I'm not really sure how the league feels about Nick Bolton and what that contract looks like.
Yeah, outfall linebackers don't get franchised. The last time that happened was David Harris in 2011. If there's going to be an off-ball linebacker that would get that consideration, and the price tag is way too high, it would be Zach Bond. That number is going to be over $25 million. It's going to be between $25.3 and $25.6. The highest paid off-ball linebacker is Roquan Smith at $20 million per year. That market has not moved very much. Bobby Wagner in 2018, the future first ballot Hall of Famer, $18 million per year, basically 6 years ago. It's gone up $2 million since then. I don't see it going up with anybody this year. You've had some guys get in the $10, $11, $12 million per year range in free agency. I'd imagine Bolton has taken note of Patrick Queen last year. That was the highest paid off-ball linebacker, $41 million over 3 years ago to the Steelers. That's basically $13.7 a year. The most recent data point is Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah signing a 3-year extension with the Browns, $37.5 million over 3 years. Max is at $39 million, which had $20 million fully guaranteed at signing, 25 million overall guarantees. The thing with Kansas City is you got Drew Tranquil as one guy. You've got Leo Chenal waiting in the wings, so he could come in and become a full-time player if Bolton prices himself out of Kansas City. But it very well could be these guys are tricky. Sometimes they don't get paid, and if he's looking at the market falling out, the bottom falling out, maybe he comes back to Kansas City because he knows he can be successful here on a one-year prove-it deal.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think could happen with Nick Bolton, exactly what you just said there at the end, that, you know, you try free agency, the market isn't what you thought it was going to be, but you can come back to Kansas City on a one-year deal, a decent base salary with some incentives that you get a pretty sizable raise from you being a second-round pick, but also you don't really break the bank, so to speak, and you stay in a defense that obviously you know very well and a system and scheme that you've had a lot of success in. I kind of think that's the best-case scenario. I mean, putting the two players out there, it's far more likely that Bolton is back on next year's team than Trey Smith would be on next year's team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if Trey Smith has at least two teams besides the Chiefs looking to re-sign him, you can kiss that goodbye, because the agent's going to play those other two teams against each other. He'll keep Kansas City in the loop, knowing that it's going to be too rich for their blood. But the interesting thing with Kansas City and offensive line, we'll get back to that for a second. Joe Tooney will be 33 in November, and 2025 is his contract year. He still worked the $16 million he's supposed to make at left guard. I think you don't want to move him back out to tackle full-time. We saw that the Super Bowl didn't go all that well, and you basically weakened two positions, so that whole side of the line was a weakness for the Super Bowl. But you got a 33-year-old guy. You're not, if you extend him, you're starting to get to those years where he's going to be declining. So that's a dicey proposition as well, although he's playing well.
Right now we're talking to Joel Corey, former sports agent. There is not too many people that understand the salary cap better than our guest Joel Corey. Happy to have him join us on the show today. Let's get to a couple extensions for the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe Tooney is a prime candidate for this in the final year of his deal. I also would be very intrigued in trying to extend Trent McDuffie as well. He is now out of his third season. You can start to negotiate with him. He's one of the best young corners in the National Football League. That price only gets bigger. You can go ahead and reward him. Also start to kind of manipulate the cap to figure out how you want to build the rest of your roster. Those are two guys that seem prime for an extension in my mind.
As I said, I don't know if I want to do an extension for 33-year-old Tooney unless he's going to start taking less money than on the deal that got him to Kansas City, and I don't know if he'd be willing to do that given the guard market has significantly escalated since he was made the highest paid guard 4 years ago. Typically, when you have a Pro Bowl caliber player on a rookie contract, you try to extend them at the earliest possible instance. That'd be McDuffie's case. You did that with Eric Fisher years ago, the former first overall pick in the draft. The quarterback market grew a little bit last year, but good corners are harder to find than wide receivers, but wide receivers make a whole lot more money than corners, so there still needs to be a market correction. If I'm McDuffie, I can exercise a little bit of patience. I want to see if Sauce Gardner had a down year, gets a deal done, and I want to see if Stingley from the Texans gets a deal done. They'll go past the reigning defensive player of the year, Patrick Surtain II's $24 million per year. I want to let them move the needle, and then I want to come in and have those deals in the marketplace and capitalize on that if I'm Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I'm with you at left tackle. The Chiefs usually take a big swing. Ronnie Stanley is out there. Dan Moore Jr., who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's an option. But if they're going to go that veteran route, Tyron Smith makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you're talking that cheap guy incentive-laden contract, because that's what he did that last year in Dallas, took a pay cut, had a ton of incentives in there this year. I think the base value was like six, could have made up to 20, didn't make any of the incentives because he didn't get through the season. So you'd have to have a plan B with him, knowing that he may not get through the whole season. That's why you may not want to go that route. Ronnie Stanley finally played every game in a season for the first time in his career. He's not quite what he was when he signed his big deal, which made him the second highest paid tackle in 2020, but he's still pretty damn good and still young enough to get paid. Tyler Decker signed for over $20 million per year, who's, I think, when Stanley's healthy, isn't quite him. So you're north of $20 million per year with Ronnie Stanley, so I don't think that really would work for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you here to wrap this thing up is, do you think they could even take on a contract like that? When you think of the things that they have to pay for coming up, when you think of the free agents that they have in this class, you mentioned at right tackle and paying Juwan Taylor and how you think that contract has been a mistake. Do you think they can have Juwan Taylor? They've already paid Creed Humphrey.
No, think to that. He's a penalty waiting to happen.
That was Joel Corey. If you missed any part of that, be sure to check out the best of our conversation with him. There is not a single person in the media that has a better understanding of the salary cap than Joel Corey. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about what will be the most watched sporting event tonight in the country. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm gonna tell you guys something about myself that you probably already know. It just seems very obvious because of the career path that I've chosen, but it seems very important for this topic. I really enjoy the sharing of sports opinions. I just love talking about sports. I love watching the sports. I love previewing them. I love reviewing them. I love coming up with random hypotheticals about situations about sports. It's my life's work. That's one side of it. I just love competition. I love watching two people compete at something. And if you're going to tell me that the people that I'm watching are the best at it, I'll give it a chance. I do not understand poker. I don't understand what makes your hand better than the other person's hand. I'm serious. I've never played poker a day in my life. I love watching the World Series of Poker. You were telling me these are the best poker players in the world, and I love the deception. I know knowing what cards you have. The other person doesn't know what cards you have. Rob, you've seen how they do poker. They put the percentages in the corner, so you got like a 15% chance of winning. But I love seeing the back and forth. I love the jostling. I love you trying to explain your way into a win. I love the mental warfare of it. I mean, I would say I am average at spelling. I'm not bad by any means at spelling. I also don't want to make it seem like I'm some scholar when it comes to spelling. I have a basic, solid foundation when it comes to spelling words. Now, there are words that I can't spell that everybody struggles with. I still can't spell convenience. I try to come up with synonyms to avoid that word. There's other words that I can't spell. Everybody has that word. But that word for me is convenience. Don't really know how to spell it. That's fine. I don't really understand soccer that much. Not a big fan. But this past Copa America, I was into it. I'm sitting there watching it and people are going crazy and they're screaming and they're yelling and I'm randomly picking a team. It seemed like it was a lot of fun. I'm only telling you guys this because I have no clue what's going to happen today in the hockey. I don't know anything about it. Honestly, I don't know the rules of hockey. All I know is icing. That's the only rule of hockey I know. I'm assuming there's other rules to the game. There's other things you can't do. I don't know anything about it. I don't know any of the players on the United States. I don't know the coach. I don't know the goaltender. I don't know what other leagues were in this four nations. It was two nations for me. I don't know the other two teams they were playing. I don't know who else I don't know anything about it. But you tell me the Team A doesn't like Team B and they're going to be playing in a hostile environment? I'll give it a chance. I'll try. I'm excited to watch hockey today. The game starts at, 7? So we got an hour and a half. I'm going to go get myself something to eat. I'm going to head home. I'm going to sit in front of the television, and I'm at least watch the first period. I can't commit to watching the whole game. I don't know. Maybe it's worse than I think it's going to be. I'm not going into it with lofty expectations because I don't know what to expect. But I've seen high-end soccer, and if you were telling me that hockey is just soccer on ice, oh, I think I can watch that for a couple hours. I don't mind watching high-level soccer. Now, I'm not watching just random New York Red Bulls against the Houston Dynamo. You didn't think I knew that, Rob. I look at that. I see you're impressed about my MLS knowledge. I'm not watching that at all. But I don't mind going out there to Sporting. I've been to a couple current games. They're great in person. They're fun, and I can follow it, I get it. I plan on watching hockey today. We're going to talk about hockey tomorrow. Maybe I like it so much, I'll adopt a team for the Stanley Cup. I'm just going to pick Vegas. They're the Golden Knights, right? They're kind of good. I'm just going to adopt them. I've already made a decision. Are they good this year?
They got one of the players on the USA tonight. You can double dip your fandom.
I'm in. That's all I needed then. I'm in.
I can't believe you've never been to a Knights game when you're out there. Supposedly they're a lot of fun.
I've been to maybe three or four Mavericks games, and I've been to one MLS preseason or NHL, preseason game. You know how, back in the old Kemper Arena days, how we would always get just like a random Blues preseason game? It would be like Blues, Blackhawks. I've been to that. I didn't really know what was going on, but I was happy to like give it a chance. Hockey's not that bad in person. It's actually kind of fun. It's tough to watch on television if you don't know what you're watching. It's very difficult to watch. But today you're telling me two all-star hockey teams. One is for the USA, so I at least give myself a team to cheer for. I'm at least going into a cheer for the home team. It's going to be a crazy environment. It's going to be a crazy crowd. The two teams don't like each other. They just had a fight last week. You know what? I'll check it out today. I also think it's going to rate very well. ESPN is putting the machine behind this one.
They're literally right now watching pregame. They are in Boston for pregame.
They got the machine by this one. ESPN got you to care about Caitlin Clark. Very simple. ESPN got you to care about a women's basketball player. You had never done that before. I'm not saying she's not worthy of it. I'm not saying she's a hooper. She is very fun to watch. It is clear that ESPN started to pump their resources toward building up women's sports because they had the NCAA tournament. And boy, did they turn her and Angel Reese into superstars. You know, when that machine gets pumping, you know that people will tune in. They've been telling you all day to watch hockey. Every time I get online, they've been telling you to watch hockey. They're posting clips from Miracle. They're posting clips from Mighty Ducks 2. You got me thinking, hey, you know what? This hockey thing might not be that bad. I'm watching it today. Rob, I even placed a wager on hockey. I wish I knew who could maybe score on the United States, which would make it more fun. But I don't mind putting a little money down on the USA money line. Hey, will America win today? Yeah, I don't mind that. I'll watch it.
Come on. Bet on the puck line.
I don't know what that is.
It's the spread. You bet the spread.
Oh, okay. Well, I hear throwing too many big words at me. And since I don't know what they mean, I'm going to take them as a sign of disrespect. Don't ever say puck line to me again. All right? Please don't use those words. You won't call it the spread? Sure. Puck line? Give me an anytime goal. Who's going to score on the United States? Give me somebody I can root for to score.
I do have a bet on 1+ points alternate line for Jack Eichel. That means goal or assist.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was trying to piece it together.
I saw the wheels turning. I had your back.
Yeah. Can I just bet on Sidney Crosby in this thing? But I also don't want him to score because he plays for Canada.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. When you same game parlay Missouri, you're like, yeah, I think Mark Sears are going to have 15 tonight, but I really like the Tigers. Can't do that.
No, I'm only betting for Missouri when I make a parlay. I'm only betting what I want to have happen. So I'm watching the game cheering for it. I'm certainly not cheering for, hey, DeJuan Harris, can you have 8 assists? No, that's not what I'm cheering for. That doesn't sound like a fun way to watch Missouri play basketball. I'm cheering for KJ Adams to score. No, thank you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This is very relevant because we were talking about the Royals television deal earlier. So ESPN and Major League Baseball have an opt-out deal in their television contract. They have both agreed mutually to opt out of that broadcast deal. ESPN, let me start from the beginning because I've said it wrong. ESPN and Major League Baseball have mutually agreed to opt out of their broadcast deal. Baseball is upset that ESPN doesn't really give baseball proper coverage, that they have basketball shows, they have football shows, they don't have a baseball show in that way. They have NBA Today, comes on every single day. They have NFL Live. They have shows for every other sport. They have a College Game Day show. Don't really have a baseball show. So Major League Baseball is mad about that. What this means is they agreed on a 7-year, $550 million annual deal in 2021. That deal is about to come to an end at the end of this season. Now, what does this mean? I think it means that ESPN is pretty clearly getting out of the national baseball business. I still think they'll have highlights. I think they'll reach some agreement. Like, you want some visibility on there. But I think ESPN is telling you, we don't believe our consumers turn on our network to watch baseball. We don't believe that our consumers turn on our television to hear baseball conversations. That's a pretty interesting stance for them to have. Now, where does baseball go on a national level if it's not going to be highlighted on ESPN? Because have your criticisms about ESPN. They might, during the day, there might be, you know, debate shows and all this kind of stuff. Like, you got to have content, right? It's a 24/7 business. The expectation in the evening when you turn on ESPN is a game will be on, right? That's the expectation. If it's 7:30, you are not expecting a debate show. You are expecting some kind of game. Basketball, football, something. I'm not sure if it's going to be baseball moving forward. Now, I could see that ESPN just kind of dials back its coverage. Hey, we want baseball on in some capacity. Maybe we'll only be involved in Sunday night baseball and opening day, and we'll let you guys figure out the rest of it. We're heavily invested everywhere. Like, it's obvious where ESPN has kind of invested its money from a live rights television standpoint. They're heavily invested in the college football playoff. They're obviously invested in the National Football League. Monday Night Football, they spend a lot of money, and you need obviously rights for the highlights. They spend a lot of money on football, a lot of money on college football. They're invested pretty heavily in the NBA, and that's kind of about it. Like, they've made their pivot on what they think the business model is for them. This is pretty intriguing that as of right now, there is not an agreement between ESPN and Major League Baseball for next season. It sounds to me like Apple and Roku are trying to put a deal together to kind of take over the ESPN package. It's bad news for Major League Baseball if one of their packages, one of their main significant packages, is on Roku. It used to be on ESPN. Talking about Baseball Tonight, Web Gym, Sunday Night Baseball. Roku is about to have that package. I've always said this. I will never come on here and tell you that I think baseball is dying. Baseball is not dying. It is not dying on a local, regional level. The Royals matter. The Cardinals matter. The Cubs matter. The Yankees matter. They matter in their market. I don't know if America is turning on Tuesday to watch Braves and Rangers. I don't think they're turning on Tuesday in the summer to do that. And I think ESPN is telling you from a financial standpoint, we don't believe that's why people are doing this, and we're not giving you this money anymore. They pay $550 million a year to broadcast baseball. They're not doing that. And they also don't get the World Series. No, we ain't paying for that no more. I'll be very intrigued to see what the future of baseball looks like from a national perspective on television. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Great day. So happy about the Missouri Tigers. Rob deep down is happy about them as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.